Hey, this is Aaron Hickman, or Daya, and you're listening to The Impulse Project, featuring music from the demo scene and the tracking community.
Project, a podcast focusing on music from the demo scene and the tracking community. We are your hosts of the show. I'm Brian, and this is Ed.
How's it going, guys? Today we have, it's episode 15, so we're introducing a brand new chip into our lineup. And to celebrate that with us, we have a special guest with us. His name is Aaron Hickman, and he's a composer in his own right. He's just come out with a new album. Aaron, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Hey, guys. Yeah, this is Aaron Hickman, a.k.a. Daya. I just released a new album called Neon Dreams, and you just heard Cora off of that album, and that was made using VGM Music Maker Tracker, which is a Sega Genesis Master System Game Gear tracker. People use it mainly to make Sega Genesis music, and Cora was actually part of an FM competition over on Battle of the Bits.
Right.
And that was back in like December of 2015. And when I made that track, like, I made it specifically for that competition, and it did pretty well. It was like my first time ever entering into a competition. So
that's awesome.
It was pretty exciting. It took second place in the Sega Genesis category. There were like four different categories. One was like an ad lib music tracker format. One was Sega Genesis. One was all gear, which is like pretty much do whatever you want. You can use, you know, modern stuff.
Like a free for all.
Free for all, yeah. And sorry, you probably hear my daughter in the background. So overall, it took like ninth place out of 37, which is not bad considering it was my first competition.
No, that's awesome.
Yeah, so I was just super psyched to place anywhere. I don't know if you guys have any questions about the track.
Oh, well, you know, we have tons of questions. But the thing about this episode, we really wanted to kind of, you know, introduce a new chip. And we were thinking, you know, we're kind of going back and forth because we've covered the major ones. We've covered, you know, we've already done like all the, you know, more, I guess, sample based, you know, like the Amiga, the SID chip. And we also looked at like the YM2149. And now we were kind of thinking like, what can we do next that kind of has some demo scene influences, but, you know, it's kind of out of the box a little bit. And I think that's where the YM2612, the chip that we're focusing on today, comes into light.
Yeah, totally. I mean, FM is just a brand new kind of sound for this show. You know, Amiga was sample-based, and then we went on with two, you know, kind of wavetable PSG-style chips, you know, with the AY and with the SID chips. So FM's kind of a whole new beast altogether. We'll get into a little bit more of the technical details later on in the show. But as you can tell at the beginning of the show, or if you are familiar with the Sega Mega Drive or the Sega Genesis or, you know, any of those older arcade-style games, FM is just a very different sound, creates very different types of music. And, you know, I think we wanted to bring Aaron on because the tracks that he's composed using FM synthesis, you know, he's really demonstrated kind of a mastery of it. So, you know, we're excited to get kind of his insider information on the chip and right. the sound and how it all gels together to make some awesome tunes.
Well, the first thing, too, we were kind of worried. We're like, well, is there really like a demo scene presence, you know, behind the YM2612? And when we started kind of looking, if you look on poet.net, there are some actual legitimate demos, and there is kind of a scene behind it. It's a lot smaller.
It seems to be getting bigger, though, and I think that's kind of important that we're demonstrating it now, because with Duffel Mask becoming very big and updating itself all the time, it's adding new...
like different modules, different chips.
New modules for different chips, and people are starting to jump on this bandwagon. So it's really good to kind of give people an introduction to this chip so that when they hear other FM demo scene tracks in the future, they'll kind of be able to reference this show and say, okay, now I know where it's coming from and how it's made.
Yeah, and it's funny because all three of us are actually huge fans of the YM2612.
Oh, totally.
But mostly more in the video game light. So kind of bringing it over to this show and kind of looking at it from more of like a technical side and like a demo scene related side is going to be a lot of fun, I think.
Yeah, and you'll probably be hearing us relating a lot of these tracks to other, you know, Sega Genesis, Mega Drive right. songs that sound similar to these. Like for instance, I heard a lot of Yuzo Koshiro's Streets of Rage soundtrack in this song. Was that one of your influences?
Oh,
Aaron?
Yeah. Yuzo Koshiro is just. I think anyone who makes FM music using like the Sega Genesis chip, especially, it's like it's hard not to be influenced by Yuzo Koshiro because he's just. He's just so omnipresent or whatever you want to say. He's just a big influence on, I think, anyone who makes this sort of music. And like Jun Seno and, you know, the composers of the Sonic 3 soundtrack. Like these guys who really knew how to take advantage of the sound chip and do like awesome bass. And then Yuzo Koshiro's ability to make just these fantastic dance tracks that... you know, really sound better than about 90% of what you'd normally hear produced with a chip.
Right.
And it's not to say that everything else is bad. It's just like his sound design and I think his ear, you know, his ear for what sounded really good at the time. And the stuff that he would hear from the clubs in Japan and stuff coming out of there. You know, like rave music and techno and just everything that was just starting to become popular and kind of underground. He kind of took that, and especially in the Streets of Rage soundtracks, you know, developed that sound, basically.
Yeah, I think that a lot of the music that we're going to play today, you're going to be able to kind of pick out a little bit. If you're familiar with Yuzo Koshiro, you're going to be able to pick out little tiny nuances of a lot of these tracks, because I think, like you were saying, a lot of people who are composing on this hardware had that influence. And I think that those little tiny touches make an appearance quite frequently.
Yeah, I think that a lot of those people were the... Koshiro's music was like one of the first times that people would kind of sit up and listen and say, whoa, the Genesis can do some amazing stuff after listening to, you know, some maybe not so good stuff in some of the earlier Genesis games. So that first impression, I think, is what a lot of these composers go back to when they start using FM composition tools.
Yeah, I want to get back into this track for a little bit, though, Korra.
Totally.
First time I heard it, I think, Aaron, you'd posted it somewhere on Facebook, and I heard it, it really blew my mind. I thought this was like, I had no idea who composed it, because you just posted it. It was kind of like one of those too long didn't read kind of things. I just saw a link, and I'm like, all right. So I click on it. I was like, oh, man, this is way jam. And then all of a sudden, you know, I start looking, and it's like, Aaron. Like, you kind of blew my mind there. That was awesome.
Yeah, it's got a great bass groove. I love the percussion. That snare hit sound is amazing. And then once you get into those solos, the stereo panning just blows me away. This is definitely a track where you get a whole new appreciation for it when you're listening to it in headphones versus, you know, regular speakers, because there's a lot of really cool separation there that just makes those solos seem so full and cool.
So Aaron, could you tell us a little bit about like this track, like how you got started with it, what gave you the ideas? Because there's a lot of really cool like different, I guess, kind of themes that kind of travel through this track.
Yeah. So I can say I started, you might be able to tell, I kind of started with that bass line. Like, that bass line kind of runs through the whole thing, while other things kind of, you know, come in and drop out. That bass line is just, it's always there. And I guess I would say that, like, first I started messing with some bass sounds I'd created. And then I found one, like this one that I really liked. It's funny enough, like within VGMMM, I was like, oh, I could make my own. And then I found one that was just so good, that was like a preset from, I think it was like a Neo Geo sound. Because if you know, the Neo Geo has FM also. And right. So there was an FM instrument in there, and it was like wood bass or something. And so, like, that's how this whole song started. It was just like, I heard this sound, I started messing with it and kind of tweaked it a little bit. I was just like, I really like the sound of this bass. And so I was just like, I want to make something really funky. And I had just gotten done playing like all the Mass Effect games. I'd blown through those games, okay? And I remember you end up at a dance club like several times throughout these games. It's like a futuristic dance club. So like, I kind of pictured in my head, like,
I know where this is going.
Yeah, it's like, this is the type of music. And one of the places you visit is Korra's Den in the first Mass Effect. And so, like, that's where I got the name Korra, or apparently it means cry in Portuguese. I didn't know that. With my daughter right on cue.
Speaking of which, yeah.
Oh, that's awesome, though. But the way we're doing this today is usually Ed picks three tracks, I pick three tracks, and we kind of alternate. But since we got Aaron on today, he's going to pick two, I've got two, and Ed's got two. We're going to kind of do a rotation that way. But quickly want to mention a little giveaway. So Aaron just recently released a new album, and we're talking about some kind of mini giveaway on the show. You want to explain it?
Yeah, so basically, you know, Aaron has his album up on the web for purchase, but we are giving away two free copies, thanks to Aaron. And you guys got to listen to the end of the show, and we will basically tell you the instructions that you have to follow in order to get entered into the contest to win the free album. And the album is called Neon Dreams. I've listened to it. Brian's listened to it. We've talked separately and have agreed that the whole thing is freaking phenomenal the way through.
It's really
done. It's FM, TurboGrafx-16. You know, it's got some NES tracks in there too. All sorts of chips, all sorts of styles of music. Definitely worth listening to.
Yep. I think there's some Sid stuff on there as well, right?
Yeah. So I've got one Commodore 64 track on there, Mother Funk Signal.
Yep. And that's an awesome track. I think we almost played that, except you were putting it in the album.
At one point.
Anyways, so why don't we go ahead and move on to our next track? The next one's you, right, Ed?
Yes, this one is called Vitriol Hammer from APOC. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back. That was Vitriol Hammer, composed by APOC, and that used the YM2612 and the Sega PSG chip. Kind of a spooky, dancey, I don't know. This is kind of a genre that's kind of like original in and of itself.
Yeah. Dark wave, maybe? Dark wave?
Dark wave, yeah, I could go with that.
No, it does kind of have a Halloween vibe to it. Something about it, like a Halloween dance party. Yeah, I thought this track is awesome, though.
Yeah, when I first started listening to it, I thought maybe there was something wrong with my VGM player. It sounded like it was off key. And then once I kind of wrapped my mind around the fact that it was meant to be kind of off-putting, I guess, or like kind of scary, spooky sounding, like then it just clicked, and all of a sudden I was like, oh no, this track is really, really good. It's relatively new. It was released in March of 2016. It took first place in the Battle of the Bits Winter Chip 11, so the judges really enjoyed this one as well. So what'd you guys think of it?
I really liked it. Like, I think, well, APOC's just an awesome guy.
Yeah.
He usually does, I usually hear him do like NES stuff, but his FM stuff is phenomenal. And he made this in Deathlamask and just did a great job. He's got fantastic compositional chops and just abilities to, like you were saying, just a little off-putting, but you kind of get sucked into the track. By design, exactly. And if you guys don't know, APOC actually does a podcast of his own called Retro Game Audio with another co-host, where they kind of do what you guys do on your other podcast.
Yeah, they go super deep,
yeah, into describing each chip and everything. But yeah, he's a really solid guy, and this competition was pretty fierce because I entered it also, and I think my Sega Genesis track, it was like 13th place or something like that.
Still pretty good, man.
Pretty good. It's still not bad. But
did I do anything for a 13th place? Are you kidding me?
Right? But it's a cool track. I think I mentioned before we came back in, I was saying it's kind of like, reminded me a little bit of the Gremlins 2 soundtrack from the NES meets some Depeche Mode, and a little bit of like Danny Elfman style. I think you guys picked up on that.
I came in with Tim Burton's Nightclub, something like that.
Yeah, I really like the crunchy chords. That funky bass line is awesome. The thing about the Sega Genesis sound is that some people are a little put off by the almost kind of like shrill, tinny reverb on the guitar or that distortion, but I really like it. It's got that that warm fuzz to it.
Yeah,
and you know, I can see the other side to it. I can see that other people might not like it, but I've just grown so accustomed to that sound that I really like Genesis kind of approximated distorted guitar, I guess. So yeah, it was an awesome track.
Indeed, yeah. APOC's real name is Steve Lakowitz. He hails from Philadelphia. He's not only a chip tuner, but he also plays the tuba. And on stage, yes, he does do a little bit of both. And he's on the Brave Wave label, so people definitely familiar with that. They release tons of cool stuff. He, like Aaron said, you know, uses both NES and the Mega Drive and Genesis to create his songs, and he's just got lots of really good stuff out there. He's definitely an artist worth checking out. Eventually, when we get around to introducing the 2A03 chip that's you know, in the NES and Famicom, I'm sure we'll hear his name pop up again.
Oh yeah. So real quick, let's talk about the YM2612 or the Sega Genesis hardware, because this episode is really focused on the FM chip, but there's kind of two parts to it, right? So the FM chip itself, the YM2612, has 6 channels of FM sound, and there's an 8-bit digitized audio channel, and this can replace one of the channels. I think it's channel 6 that it can replace in timing. You can do that in software. You can do it a few little tricks to kind of get them to sound like they're playing together, but it also has one LFO and a few different timers for the software interface itself too. Now, the YM2612 on the Sega Genesis isn't alone. Sega actually put in its daughter chip from the Sega Master System, which is kind of known as the Sega PSG. You want to explain that chip for us a little bit, Ed?
Its technical name for it is the SN76489 Digital Complex Sound Generator. It's from Texas Instruments. It includes three square wave tone generators with 16 different volume levels and a noise generator. So basically white noise and periodic, and then 16 different volume levels and three different frequencies on that. So that's essentially the hardware that was originally in the Sega Master System. And so Sega, when they made the Mega Drive and Genesis, they left that chip in there for backwards compatibility with Sega Master System games, but then they also let developers of Mega Drive and Genesis games use that chip alongside the FM. So, like in this particular song, for instance, you hear a lot of that PSG and FM harmonizing with each other. So, you know, if you were to play this in like VGM Player, you could completely mute out all of the YM2612 channels, and you would hear kind of like little sprinkles and tinkles kind of
the twinklies, as I like to call them.
Exactly, and they're mainly used. Composers mostly use them for harmonization or a little bit of an echo or reverb. Yeah. Sometimes that with that white noise generator, just for a little extra oomph behind some of the drums. So it's not really focused on too much when you're talking about Genesis Mega Drive compositions, but it's definitely kind of sets this sound apart from a lot of the older arcade machines that were only able to use FM.
Right. And the Sega Master System had really awesome audio, I think. But then when you compare or when you combine that with the 2612, you get this chip orchestra, if you will, inside of hardware. And it's just a real blast to listen to. There's a lot of really good stuff out there, especially in the video game, in the video game genre, I guess. And the YM2612 is just a powerhouse. It's just a great chip. A lot of people really like the sound. There's a lot of people that don't. If you don't like FM, then this might not be the episode for you. But a lot of people.
We'll make you like FM by the time we're done.
Right. We'll make you like it by the time we're done with the show. Yeah. So the YM2612 is also known as the OPN2. And like I said, this was six channels, and it was developed by Yamaha. And it's part of this huge family of FM synth chips. There's also like the 2608, the 2151, what is it, 2203. There's this huge
2610.
Yeah, the 2610. There's just a bunch of different kind of chips in this family, and this one's very unique. So that's why we wanted to kind of talk about it and kind of spotlight it today. And it does kind of have a demo scene presence around it, so I think that makes for a good show.
Yeah, we actually tossed the idea a little bit about opening up all the FM chips at once and just kind of playing everything and anything.
Pandora's box.
Yeah,
yeah,
right.
Basically. But then we realized that, you know, some of these chips are so different from each other that it would be really cool just to kind of go one by one and kind of get the most popular out of the way first, and then, you know, in future episodes kind of demonstrate some of the more rarer chips or some of the ones that, you know, that DefleMask is adding support for in the future. So I think this is definitely a good way to do it.
Yep. So you guys ready for the next track?
I am definitely ready.
Awesome.
Let's do it.
The next track. So this is a track I picked. It's called Travel, and it was released in a demo by Resistance, and it's composed by 99. We'll be right back. All right, you just heard Travel, and that was composed by 99 of the demo group Resistance, and that is on the YM2612. I think it's clocked at 50 hertz. That's what sounds right to me anyway. And it was composed, like I said, by 99, and he is a French composer. And this was released in July of 2015, and it took third place at the Solskjaergen 2015 demo party, which takes place in Norway, under the Old School Demo Compo. I love this track. That was way chill. It has a really cool groove to it. It really demonstrates the 2612 because it's simply the YM2612 by itself. There is no PSG involved. So I think it's a good example of what the chip can do in a very kind of more, I guess, a slower kind of take on some of the audio produced.
Yeah, you don't often associate the FM chips with those fast Western style arpeggiations.
Yeah.
And so I was almost convinced that that arpeggio that you hear in the song was taking place on that PSG chip. But then I muted channel 5 on the 2612 and the arpeggios went away. I was like, oh my God,
that's where it is.
I am. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I know. I turned off the PSG, or I turned off the YM2612 and I heard silence. So
yeah.
So I was like, oh wow. Okay. I guess that's strictly a single chip, but yeah, it's a very impressive track. Aaron, what do you think about it?
Man, I really liked it. You know, it almost reminded me almost like how the Amiga would sound like the Commodore 64 sometimes.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Right, with like AHX or something, yeah.
Yeah, that whole vibe, or like I'm trying to think of the composer. There's one guy who does a lot of Amiga tracks that have that same feel. I think we were mentioning him. What's his name? What was it? Sunny, what was it? Rainy,
oh,
sunny days.
Reflex. Not a Reflex. Oh man, what? I can't think of the name now. God,
I feel like I'm getting old. I can't remember his name, but he's one of my favorite composers too. But yeah, just like that whole deal where it's like it's pretty simple synthesis going on. But, you know, I love the arps. I love the change up in the drums. I would say the drums aren't the most spectacular thing about the track, but they get the job done. And I like the change up kind of midway through the track where it kind of has like a halftime feel to it, kind of like, you know, where you get kind of like a break or a drop.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that too.
Yeah, in the lead, it kind of did have that sort of really pronounced Amiga Commodore 64-ish feel to it. Like, it didn't sound like your typical Genesis lead sound or Mega Drive. So yeah, I thought it was a really good track.
Yeah, no, I thought the demo was really cool. Composer did an excellent job. So 99, or Nain, however you pronounce it, I swear to God, we are so bad with these names. He did both the coding and the music, and this was actually his first coding attempt ever. He was mostly a musician or an audio guy, but he decided he was going to try to get into coding, and this was his first attempt. And I got to say, it's a pretty damn good attempt at that, because if you look at the demo, it's actually quite impressive for you know, Sega Genesis. I mean, this took place in 2015. And if you look at a lot of the stuff we have here, it's more recent. And I think that's because people are starting to understand the hardware a little bit more from, you know, outside of like these licensed companies. And maybe that's why. But 99 did a lot of music on the Amiga. He started in 1995, so he's not, new to the scene at all, but he really kind of got into, the Genesis just in the last few years. But he has been active on the Amiga, the Game Boy Color, and a few other computer platforms, like I think it's Atari ST and maybe the Commodore 64 as well.
Yeah, I could totally tell right off the bat that this guy had experience on Amiga, because like we were just talking about, I think that's where this track's influence
Radix
definitely came from, the Amiga
Radix
scene.
There you
Radix,
go. Oh
there
my God.
It was Radix, yeah. Sorry.
You know what? If Martin Gustafsson, one of the guys who comments a lot in the Facebook group, if he was on the show right now, he would have called it right off the bat. That guy's
probably listening and screaming, it's Radix, it's Radix.
And the track I was thinking of was Rainy Summer Days, which is like my all-time favorite demo scene too.
That's so funny, because that was almost the track that I picked for the last episode in our summer jams, and I don't know, I scrapped it for whatever reason.
That's funny. It ended up getting posted in our group, though. Yeah. I think it was like one of the first tracks that got posted after we put our last show up, so that's really funny.
Yeah, but 99, like I said, he has a ton of different tracks. If you go through like his list, you can find other different chip tunes he's composed, other demos he's been a part of, a few different groups. But Resistance is a really cool group, and they've done a lot of cool demos. So definitely give them a check out on poet.net. And you can also go to their website, which is resistance.no.
Excellent. Aaron, why don't you hit us with your second track?
Hey, so my second track is going to be Beyond the Stars by Dread.
Awesome. Let's give it a listen.
Welcome back, guys. That was Beyond the Stars by Dread. Dread is just, he's actually one of my best friends in real life. That's Trevin Hughes. He's been making Sega Genesis music for the past 5 years, since I think VGM Music Maker Tracker actually came out. If you go into the program, like, some of his tracks are actually demo tracks bundled into the program. and he's part of what actually got me into doing FM music. And so that's part of why you hear some of our collaborations on my Neon Dreams album. But speaking of this song, I would call it a very progressive rock-ish track, kind of a space rock type thing going on. Totally reminded me of like Tim Fallon. He's got like three different time signatures going on. He's got 7/8, he's got 6/8, he's got a solo section that's 8/8 or 4/4. Just an amazing track with three separate sections that just kind of tie together. One's faster, and then it kind of slows down, and then it just revs back up basically.
Oh, it's an incredible track. It's funny because Ed picked a track that I had already thought about putting in, and you picked this track, and I had already thought about putting this one in. It's a really fun fun piece of music, and it's kind of funny to me because I first saw it in the, or I first heard it when I was watching the demo.
Yeah.
And it just,
oh, I didn't mention the demo. Yeah, it's part of a demo.
Yeah, it just goes part hand in hand with it. It's like this blowfish kind of floating around the screen. It just cracks me up. And this music is just, oh man, it's, there's so many different parts. Like you said, there's three different parts. There's so many, I guess, lessons or stories in each one. It's just, I don't know, just very well put together. Very clever, I think.
Yeah, yeah. I heard a lot of, like, the title screen to Tim Fallon's Solstice, like that really prog rock style.
Yeah, yeah.
Like guitar soloing, it sounds very similar to that. And it's a testament to how much we like Trevin's stuff, because I was like, well, you know, if we're going to do an FM show, I'm going to put something from Trevin in there. And then I was talking to Brian, and he was like, I was going to put something from Trevin in there. And I talked to Aaron, and Aaron was like, well, I've already picked something from Trevin to put in there. So he was like, okay, well, at least he's in the show. Yeah. We're literally fighting over which one of us can bring a Trevin song to the show. Yeah. So
there are a few really good ones out there that I had lined up. But, you know, we'll try to keep it a little bit more diverse for the episode.
Yeah,
but
yeah, he's yeah. Just,
and we'll definitely share more of his stuff in the future.
Yeah. Trevin's just so prolific, guys. If you don't know, if you ever go to his SoundCloud, he's got something like 500 tracks on there, and I think about 300 of those, maybe 250 maybe, are all Sega Genesis songs that he's worked on or collaborated on with other people, including myself. He is just, I would say he's just one of the coolest guys you can get to know. If you ever want someone to help you understand FM a little more, or if you want to get into that and make FM music, he's a great guy to know. And he talks to everybody. It doesn't matter if you're starting from the beginning or if you're more advanced already. He's collaborated with everyone. And to talk more about this particular demo, I believe it was released at Datastorm. Back in February of 2014, and it's a music disc, and so that means it's got it's a demo, and it's got five tracks of Trevin's music of Dread on there, and it took third place, which is not too bad. And I think I included a link to it, so there'll be a link to more information about the demo over at how do you pronounce that, Poet?
Yeah, poet.net.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, the demo is actually called Blowfish. And so it's pretty easy to find on there, but we'll make sure we put a link in the show notes. If you, we're talking about Dread and, his music and stuff, but he's actually really active on the Facebook group, and he responds to a lot of, questions or, different posts that we have for, some of the other demo scene music and stuff. He's a really, really nice guy. So join the Facebook group, get to know him, and learn a little bit more about FM right there in the group page.
Awesome.
Ed, so you're up next, I believe, right?
Yes. This is probably one of the most well-known demo scene, demos and tracks in the Mega Drive scene right now. This one is Overdrive from Titan. Overdrive. All right, guys, we are back. That was Overdrive from Titan, and you gotta love that little clown horn.
Yes.
Oh, what an awesome track. Oh my god.
So much sampling. So much sample channel abuse. It's great.
Man, over the top. I mean, you gotta watch the demo when you're listening to it, but you know, unfortunately, we can't do a video podcast, so you're going to have to watch it in the Facebook group or something like that. We'll post
it. Yeah, we'll put a video up of it. Yeah, but, you know, even by itself, the song is completely phenomenal. Just so many different parts. It's all just overdriven dance music from the minute you start to the minute it ends. It's completely awesome stuff. So it was released on December 20th. 2000. I wrote 3013 on my notes. It feels like it's from that age. December 20th, 2013. It placed first in the Evoke 2013 Alternative Demo Compo, and it was composed by Strobe Flux, Mito, and Saxon Pipe, all from the group Titan. And I guess the lead composer on this was Strobe Flux. You can find more of his stuff over on Battle of the Bits. He goes by the handle Strobe now, and he's got a whole bunch of stuff over there, from Milky Tracker, from, you know, Amiga, Commodore 64, you know, lots and lots of different stuff he's got on his site, and lots of really good stuff too.
Man, I wonder what kind of invoked this you know, Mega Drive demo. I mean, what, you know, this group Titan is so well known for all their different PC stuff, and they do some stuff on handhelds, and just all across the board. But then they came out with this, and I think it just blew everybody's mind when it was released.
It makes me think of, you know, the company Xerinx. Okay, you remember
Xerinx,
those guys?
With Jesper Kite. Jesper Kite.
Yeah. It kind of makes me think of those guys who were more well-known in the Commodore 64 and Amiga scene making demos. And then they kind of transitioned over to the Mega Drive and, you know, started out with demos. And then they were like, you know what? We can make full games. And so, like, they put out these games with this amazing demo scene quality music and, like, these visuals that were kind of out of this world and doing stuff that totally pushed the Mega Drive Genesis to its limits. And it kind of reminds me of this demo. Kind of that same sort of mindset. Like, you know what? I think the Genesis or the Mega Drive can do so much more than people give it credit for.
Oh yeah, it's funny. Definitely. It's funny that you mentioned the Xerinx. That, you know, I do this Pixelated Audio. It's a video game music podcast, and that was actually the third episode. We did a whole thing, whole spotlight on Xerinx, just as a company, and we talked a lot about Jesper Kite and how the group actually would program stuff for the Genesis. But coming from that background, I'm sure helped. And so seeing these kind of modern demos come to kind of fruition with these well-respected, well-known PC demo groups, it's actually kind of like this cool, I guess, love letter to the old consoles and the old systems.
Definitely, yeah. This demo almost didn't come to pass. It was originally written to be shown at Revision 2013, but they ran into a whole bunch of issues. I guess the programmers on it stayed up for 3 days straight trying to get it finished. And when they got to the show, the people that were going to be recording the demo to show on the big screen, for some reason, the board they were using would only record it in black and white.
Oh,
and
no.
Then they did a last-minute bug fix at the last minute, and the bug fix introduced another demo-breaking bug that they didn't foresee, so like the whole thing had to be scrapped for the party. So they, you know, brought it back to the drawing board, you know, fixed a whole bunch of stuff, got it working 100%. And then when Evoke rolled around later that year, they entered it and won first place. So all the hard work paid off eventually.
Yeah, that's too bad. Well, that's a funny story though. I mean, the fact that it literally failed because of all the technical problems, and then they still managed to get it out there, and it took first place. That's incredible.
Yeah, well, I think they knew they had something special on their hands, and that, you know, scrapping it would be a disservice to all the work and to the demo itself, you know, just kind of showing what they could do. Because I don't think anything before or since has really pushed the Genesis hardware to its limits like this particular
maybe,
demo does.
Oh yeah, video game wise maybe Gunstar Heroes, but as far as demos go, yeah.
Yeah. Treasure and everything that they've made, Alien Soldier, Gunstar Heroes, you know, that those are the guys that basically are like their contemporaries for Titans demo scene group, you know, they're really just talented dudes.
Right, but you have to remember too that, you know, these groups or these video game companies had like actual authentic dev kits from Sega, whereas,
and they're also paid to do it, so exactly. You know, they're professionals.
So and you know, Titan, I'm sure they're using a lot of kind of hacked together, you know, kind of premature, I guess, dev kits and stuff like that. So it's really impressive what they can do on the system with those means.
I'm gonna guess maybe using an emulator or something that they're able to test with. And then use something to, you know, now we have things like EverDrives where you can put that, you can dump that ROM onto a chip and just run it and see how it goes.
Right.
Yeah, actually, when this one was first released, and this kind of tells me that it probably was done on an emulator, because when this one was first released, I ran it in a Genesis emulator and it worked fine. And then I went home and I have a EverDrive MD. So I put the ROM and tried to run it on real hardware, and it did run, but there were definite graphical glitches, so I'm pretty sure that they were, you know, and then other revisions came out afterwards that kind of fixed the stuff on the hardware. So that probably tells me they were using an emulator to code the whole thing, you know, as they went through, or at least to test it.
It was probably the easiest way.
There's one more thing too. People don't realize the Genesis / Mega Drive, it went through so many revisions that even when you jump between different versions of the system and different revisions, like the sound chip actually sounds different.
Yep. Two different chips.
Mm-hmm. And then sometimes like the distortion sounds different on the first model, and it just generally sounds better than some of the more tinny quality of the Model 2 for some reason.
Yeah, I think the DAC kind of changes a little bit, as well as I'm not quite sure. I have to look. I knew it at one point, but I couldn't remember it off the top of my head.
Some games like Contra Hardcore and Castlevania Bloodlines just sound awful on the Model 2. You gotta play them on the Model 1 if you want to hear the real good version of the music.
But we see that on like the Commodore 64, right? Chip revisions.
Yeah, you have two different chip revisions that make things sound different depending on what you're playing.
Yeah, so hopefully the way that you guys are listening today is the best sounding way. I think it will be. So at least you have that going for you. All right, so I think we're moving on to our last track of the day. It's my pick, right? Man, that's gonna be
It's
gonna be a hard one to follow up with. this is a cool track though. This is called it doesn't have a title, but it is from the demo that was an invitation for Datastorm 2014. So let's listen to that, and we'll be right back. Thank you. All right, so that was composed for the DataStorm 2014 Invitation, composed by MCH of the group Genesis Project, which is kind of funny, considering it's not a Genesis group. Anyways, yeah, so that was for the DataStorm 2014 Invitation, composed by MCH, also known as Michu from Poland. His real name is Michael Brzeski. And yeah, this was released in October of 2013. I just really like this demo. I thought the track is really chill. It's kind of got this little kind of bumpiness to it. Almost has a video game vibe, but it keeps that nice groove going. And this is solely using the YM2612. Both my tracks are today.
Yeah, no, I really do like that bass groove. This just feels kind of relaxing. You know, I think with a lot of these FM tracks, you get kind of a gritty, more of a rock or a hard style techno sound, but when it's in the right hands, you know, FM synthesis can be very relaxing and very smooth, and this one kind of has that nice little groove to it that really kind of exemplifies that kind of sound that you can get from this system.
Yeah, I think too, you know, not specifically this track, but you know, the FM synth coming from this chip can do some really, I guess, wonderful things that you can't do in sample-based, you know, trackers, because kind of those natural sounding, you know, FM timbres for like a trombone or like a trumpet, like those horn instruments, just sound very, very, I guess, kind of melodic and realistic. This track has doesn't really have that, but what it does kind of show is that, you know, even with something kind of simple, you can have a lot of fun, I think, and not pulling all these crazy arpeggio strings, and it's not doing these extremely aggressive you know, chord progressions or anything like that. But what it's showing about the FM chip, I think, is really special in its own. And I first heard this actually just, you know, a week ago, and I was kind of debating whether to put it in the show or not. And then, you know, it's one of those things, you know, you start listening to it a few times and you're like, oh man, how could I not put this in the show? So MCH, he's been active since 2007, and he's currently a member of a few different groups. There's Dream, Multistyle Labs, and most importantly, the Genesis Project. And Genesis Project, I mean, this is an extremely well-known group. Most well-known for their stuff on the C64, and probably one of the most prolific groups for the C64 scene of all time. Just a very, very interesting, cool group. And the fact that he's a part of it, and, you know, a relatively new member, is pretty awesome. Now, he also went by the handle Baboon. You can find a bunch of his stuff on the High Voltage SID collection. He does a lot of work on the Amiga in both the mod and XM formats. He's also got some YM stuff kind of floating around, but really, really cool composer. Just, I had to throw this track in.
Yeah, I thought it was great. Awesome composer. You know, the track does seem kind of simple, but sometimes those are some of the best tracks, in that they're kind of direct, and they don't have to be flashy to kind of get their point across and for you to really enjoy it. I think that by not having like a really gritty Genesis sound, it kind of showcases that you know, the Sega sound or the YM sound can be something a little different than what we typically hear.
Right.
So I definitely enjoyed it.
Totally sweet. Oh. That's what I gotta say.
if you wanna find more of his stuff, you can check out his website, which is mch.untergrund.net. He's also on SoundCloud at mch64, and we'll have links in the show notes for that. So going back to this kind of this giveaway, Ed. So we were talking in the beginning of the show about how we're gonna do this. Maybe you could hash it out.
Sure. So there are a couple ways that you can go about getting yourself in the running for a free copy of Neon Dream from Daya, otherwise known as our pal Aaron Hickman. All you have to do is, one, head over to iTunes and search for the Impulse Project and leave us however many stars you think we deserve and a little review of our show. And then let us know. You can email us at team@impulseproject.info or post on our Facebook post that includes this show on it. Let us know you left a review. The other way you can do it is by tweeting the hashtag #IWantNeonDreams. And so we will automatically put you in the running. We'll, you know, list everybody. You know, it's a good idea to tag us at ImpulseCast and also use the hashtag #IWantNeonDreams.
Right.
And then so we will have one specific drawing for the iTunes reviews and one specific drawing for the Twitter hashtags. And so two people will be the lucky ones to win a copy of this amazing album. The third secret way to win is by knocking on Aaron's door and kicking him in the shins.
Yep.
You get a free code that way, too.
I will give you a free code and maybe my wallet. I don't know.
That's how I got my copy. you know, it's a lot of fun, you guys. Participate. Please, you know, do one of the above and get this album, because Aaron worked hard on it. It's a really great album, and we want to give out a copy of it. And Aaron was very cool to let us do that on the show here. If you want to know more about the podcast, you want to know about the community, you can go to impulseproject.info, and also on the Facebook group, which is, Ed, take it away.
It's facebook.com/groups/ Impulse Project. Now, Aaron, if people want to go out and purchase a copy of Neon Dreams, where should they go?
So you can go to it's diamusic.bandcamp.com. So also, if you just do a search for Dia, D-Y-A, Neon Dreams, Bandcamp, you'll find me. And then I think there's going to be a link in the show notes.
Nope.
But maybe. No, I'm just kidding. Maybe. But if I may explain, every track on this album was made with a tracker of some sort, except for the guitars. Those are all live tracked, live from my buddy Rudy, and we recorded those in Reaper. But everything else is made with a tracker.
Very cool.
Awesome. And I think the 2A03 strut track is actually a live recording from my personal NES. So it's a little personal touch there.
Oh, that's so awesome. Very cool.
I also do podcasts. I'm on the Genesis Gems podcast, where we tackle a Sega Genesis game every 2 weeks or month, however much we're doing it, depending on our schedules. And then for the longest time, I had the Retro Obscura podcast, which is on like a slight hiatus. But that's how I know Brian and Ed is kind of through this whole podcasting thing. I've been friends with them for a while, so if you want to check those out, we're also on Facebook and iTunes and all those good things.
Yeah. Well, we all like the same stuff, so that's kind of the mutual ground, I think.
Yeah,
definitely.
All right. Well, thank you guys so much for listening. Keep an eye on the feed for the next episode, and we will be moving back over to more traditional demo scene stuff. So thank you guys again, and see you in a few weeks.
Peace out, guys.
Later.